tensions between Russia and the U.S. are increasing as the Russian president hits back at Obama for his rhetoric at the U.N. General Assembly. Now, Washington is continuing with its sanctions policy against Russia and expanding its regional influence through NATO. So are we entering another Cold War era? Or is this just yet another stumbling block in the tumultuous U.S.-Russia ties? Stay with us in this edition of The Debate as we analyze the recent developments and how they will play out on the relations between the U.S. and Russia.
Tensions continue between Russia and the West, led by what a majority of Russian people, according to numerous polls, considered as their number one enemy, the United States. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has once again lashed out at Washington over its, quote, hostile policy toward Moscow. He warned Russia would not be blackmailed by the West over the crisis in Ukraine. The recent Western pressures against Russia have forced Moscow to resort to an effective weapon to hit back, gas. Putin has said gas supply to Europe faces serious risks. This comes as the cold season is approaching in Europe, which has joined hands with the United States in pressuring Russia. The two allies have imposed a series of sanctions on Moscow over Ukraine, which has been at loggerheads with Russia for the past several months. Ukraine's new government claims Russia is interfering in its affairs. Relations between Russia and the West have hit their record lows since the crisis in East Ukraine began earlier this year. But Ukraine is not the only bone of contention between the two sides. Russia and the West have been at odds over Syria as well, since the conflict began in the Arab country. Moscow sees the conflict as a foreign-backed conspiracy to bring about regime change in Damascus and to change the geostrategic map of the region in favor of the West. Russia, along with China, have vetoed several anti-Syrian resolutions at the UN Security Council. The texts were all drafted by Western governments, and Moscow charges that they were aimed at paving the way for military intervention in Syria. The same holds true for Ukraine. Moscow believes that the West's final goal is to make Ukraine a member of NATO. Russian officials have rejected any further eastward expansion of the Western military alliance, which they say is aimed at encircling Russia. In response, Kremlin has been flexing its muscles over the past years by upgrading its nuclear arsenal and intercontinental ballistic missiles. The simmering tensions between the two nuclear armed states, many believe, can reignite a new Cold War era rivalry, endangering international peace and security.
Well, let me start off by introducing our guest. Joining us from London is investigative journalist Tony Gosling. And from Washington is a former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense Lawrence J. Korb. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on Press TV's Debate. Let me start off with you, Mr. Gosling. Now, we've just heard President Putin accusing the U.S. of a hostile attitude toward Russia, warning it against attempts of, quote, blackmail to Moscow. Now, how do you interpret this deterioration of ties and these comments, specifically the timing?
Well, I think what we're seeing now is really something playing out which has been going on for many, many years. There's been an attempt, hasn't there, since the end of the Soviet Union to woo Russia into the fold, into the NATO fold and into the Western economic model. What's happened is there's been a bit of pushback from Vladimir Putin and the regime in Russia, hasn't there? So essentially, there's no way that the Russians are going to be playing ball much more, because they've seen that actually they're not really interested in doing fair deals. They want the Western elite, and I'm talking about the big banks and the big oil companies, the energy industry that really runs the Western world. I don't think we live in a very functioning democracy anymore, because these banks and corporations have become far too influential in our political parties and even buying up large parts of our media. I mean, if you mentioned Ukraine just now, but we've seen over the last few days massive protests, something like 8,000 people in Kiev with a protest outside the parliament building supporting the Nazi-leaning partisans. That is, the partisans that were fighting against the Russian forces in World War II, and yet there's been absolutely no analysis of that whatsoever by the Western press, by the big networks like the BBC, CNN, have not pointed out that this is actually a pro-fascist rally going on in the middle of Kiev. They say there's demonstrators, but they've not been explaining to the public what's going on. So this is the problem we're dealing with, is that democracy has been completely overwhelmed by enormous networks of power, the banks, the media, and groups like the Bilderberg Group, which I study.
Right. Mr. Korb, I would like you to respond to that. And I'd like you to bear in mind that during his first term in office, Obama unveiled his plans to reset relations with Russia. And many had hoped that this would usher in an era of mutual trust and cooperation between the two countries. Where did it all go wrong?
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that there is still cooperation going on. Yesterday, you probably saw Secretary Kerry and the Russian foreign minister getting together in Vienna for the talks with Iran over Iran's nuclear program. The Russians and the United States signed a arms reduction treaty that took down the number of nuclear weapons from 2,200 to 1,500. The Russians have been working with the United States and its allies in Iraq. And the Russians have been very helpful to the United States in Afghanistan. There is a problem with Ukraine because Russia has violated the Budapest Memorandum, which was signed 20 years ago by the United States, the United Kingdom, and Russia, that said if Ukraine would get rid of all of its nuclear weapons and move them back to Russia, that those countries would guarantee the independence of Ukraine, including Crimea. And of course, the Russians have annexed the Crimea, and they're still stirring up trouble in eastern Ukraine. And as a result, the European Union and the United States have put economic sanctions on Russia. Nobody's talking about military action, but they're saying that if you act against international norms, you're going to pay an economic price. And that's where we are right now.
Right, but Mr. Korb, Mr. Gosden just pointed out that this might just not be only about Ukraine. And indeed, we saw these ties becoming a bit more tense, specifically when Russia claimed that NATO violated the UN mandate regarding Libya. And it went sort of downhill from there.
Well, wait a second. That was not just a NATO mandate. It was a UN mandate, okay, that enabled the countries to go in, and the countries that joined were voluntarily. NATO did approve it, but not all the NATO nations joined. In fact, the United States was accused of not being involved enough. Everybody talked about them, quote unquote, leading from behind. But it was an approved mission by both the United Nations and NATO. Russia has argued that they didn't really agree. Well, they should have read the memorandum. They should have read the resolution before they voted for it, because it said all necessary means.
Well, Mr. Gosling, your response to this?
Well, first of all, I mean, we were hearing there about the so-called annexation of Crimea. I mean, there's been a lot of comparison of this to Hitler's annexation of Czechoslovakia. But if you look at the facts on the ground, nothing like the same. There was no referendum in Czechoslovakia as to whether the Czech people actually supported Nazi Germany. No, there certainly wasn't, but there was in Crimea. We're also seeing an attempt, really, to take over countries by taking the capital. And we've seen from the resistance in east of Ukraine, that simply isn't going to be possible in Ukraine. There's going to be a great deal of difference between, whether you can do that or not. Also, in Libya, this is a bit cheeky, wasn't it, to institute a no-fly zone. And yet, we've got plenty of evidence that special forces were down there on the ground. And look what a mess NATO and the West has made of Libya. They basically got a failed state there. And people may have seen Dan Glazebrook's book on these failed states. What's happening is the West is starting to not take over places like Libya, but they seem to be disrupting them to a massive extent in order to deny anybody else having access to them. This is how bad it's got, and we've got a breakdown of the rule of law. My colleague there was suggesting that actually these UN resolutions are being kept to. Slowly but surely, the authority of the United Nations is being eroded by NATO and the West, whether it's in Libya and elsewhere.
Also, that is a very dangerous precedent. If you look back to what happened before World War II, exactly the same kind of thing was going on. A slow erosion, a kind of mickey-taking of the UN in international law. So I think that most of the running here is being made by the West. Look, for example, at the use of drones by the United States to kill some of its own citizens, and by Israel and by the United Kingdom. Really very dangerous escalation in international warfare. So, you know, I think we in the West have really more to answer for than the Russians, particularly calling the referendum in Crimea as some kind of annexation, giving the local people the chance to decide what they want to do. I'd like to see more of this right across the West, not less.
All right, Mr. Korb, I saw you shaking your head there. I'd like to keep this conversation flowing and touch on the point of NATO. Let's not forget, many are increasingly viewing NATO as America's European wing of its military. And also, Russia has always viewed NATO with a degree of suspicion and caution. And when we do see what happened in Libya, where Russia is saying that NATO went far and beyond the UN mandate, and also when it comes to Ukraine, where we're seeing a whole conference take place of NATO leaders promising to protect Ukraine. Don't you think that Russia's suspicions are justified?
Well, first of all, in Libya, it was not just NATO. The Arab League was involved there. In fact, they flew more missions than anybody except the United States and the United Kingdom. So it wasn't just the Europeans, it was the countries in the Middle East. And similarly, the Budapest Memorandum, Russia agreed that they would not, if Ukraine got